Welcome to the Grace Abounding Broadcast, brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church that meets at 2970 Baird Road in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to bring to you today a message that seeks to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and His glorious person and finished work of salvation accomplished for sinners at the cross. Please stay tuned. My text is taken today from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to begin reading in verse 14 and read down through the end of the chapter and talk to you about old things being passed away. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes, "For the love of Christ constraineth us," speaking there of those who are the Lord's, whom God the Father has chosen in His mercy and grace from eternity, and for whom the Lord Jesus Christ paid their entire debt, and the Spirit of God being given them, it is the love of Christ that constrains them. And Paul says, "Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Now, when the Scriptures speak of Christ dying for all, He's talking about those for whom He laid down His life, all kinds of sinners from every tribe, nation, and tongue. Some people confuse that word "all" to mean every single person. But we know that if indeed the Lord Jesus Christ had laid down His life for every single sinner throughout the world, then there would be no more condemnation. When Christ paid the debt, He paid it in full. And Paul here, in writing of the one who died for all, it was to address the issue with the Jews that somehow the Messiah would be only a Jewish Messiah. And Paul himself being a Jew, and yet converted by the grace of God to Christ, was a preacher among the Gentiles. And his message that Christ died for all was to show that God's mercy and God's grace was not reserved to one race, but to sinners of every kind and sinners from every tribe, nation, and tongue. So Paul's point here is that if Christ died for these, then it's because either one, they were all dead already in condemnation in Adam. But I believe the understanding there goes even further, that when Christ died, when it says, "then we're all dead," it's speaking there of their own legal death being accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. When He died, they died, legally, justly. In other words, as their substitute. And He goes on in verse 15 to say, "and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." So you see the end of Christ dying for sinners from every tribe, nation, and tongue is that they should live. But in living, not live unto themselves. No man can follow Christ who honors himself. No man can declare that he is the Lord's who trusts in his own righteousness, which there isn't any, but a professed righteousness based on one's own works. Now here it says that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves or for themselves or to their own glory, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. In verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 5, we read, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more." What he's speaking of there is that Christ came, lived, died, and rose again as a man. And while He was on earth, He was known in the flesh. But now that He is risen and ascended on high, no longer to be seen with these physical eyes here on earth until he should come again. Paul is showing that Christ is alive but reigning in glory, no longer in his state of humiliation here on earth. And then verse 17, therefore. See, verse 16 has a wherefore, based upon Christ having lived, died, and risen again. And now verse 17, therefore, the conclusion, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that is where I've drawn the title of this message, Old Things Being Passed Away. Now, verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. There again, the world in the sense of sinners from every tribe, nation, and tongue, not just the Jew, but Jew and Gentile, of his choosing, to wit, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. You say, how so? Well, in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What do you do with old things? Some people like to keep old things. They like to hang on to them. Some like to collect old things and see value in them. There's some who would like to get rid of old things but can't. I have some acquaintances that in their past and in their folly they committed a certain crimes and were charged with felonies that to this day they're trying to get expunged from their record. And no matter how much they try, the record stands. Once committed, it's done. I often think, what if that were the case with us before God? There would be no hope. Once Adam fell there in the garden, if God were to mark iniquities, who could stand? But here, dear friend, is a blessed truth, when understood aright, for any who are the Lord's, and have been taught of him by his Spirit, and drawn to him in effectual grace. Note here in my portion of Scripture, in verse 17, that the apostle does not write that old things are passing away, as if the Lord's children are reforming or being reformed slowly but surely. There are some who perceive their salvation in that manner. They make a decision for Jesus, so-called, and then they believe that based upon that decision, God in return gives them the Holy Spirit, and from that point forward they start cleaning up their lives. And you'll hear them talking in terms of, I used to do that, or I'm doing it less and less, or I'm getting better and better, or some who proudly say, I'm able to withstand sin better today than I did yesterday. Dear friend, that is a delusion. We need to understand that this flesh is what it is, and that if it were to depend upon this flesh reforming, there is none that could ever stand before a holy God. Even if today you determined never to sin again, were that a possibility, how would you expunge your record from what you've done from your birth until now? How would you expunge that record of having already fallen in your father Adam. It stands against you. Now, dear friend, the word as it is written here is an absolute definitive statement. Old things are passed away. So if at first thought you think that this means that the old nature is no more, then settle it in your mind that such is not the case. If that were the case, there would be no need for exhortation in other scriptures, such as Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, where Paul writes, "Put off the old man which is corrupt." Note, is corrupt, continues to be. The sin nature in us is what it is, sin. And so long as we are in this flesh, it will continue to be sinful. The Apostle Paul wrote of this in Romans chapter 7 and verse 21. "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." And he says, "By the Spirit of God, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." And so he cries, "O wretched man that I am," such is the cry of every sinner whom Christ has redeemed and the Spirit has taught and regenerated and brought to Christ. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And the answer is, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. That's all this flesh can do, is sin. So coming back to my text here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, I want to consider the right approach to this verse of what it means that old things are passed away. I would answer in two ways. One would be a concrete approach, and the other a spiritual approach. Now, when I talk about a concrete approach, I'm talking about what is objective. In other words, it can be said that old things are passed away based upon the objective death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the reason I took the time in reading in the beginning to lay the context of this verse, where Paul is speaking of the death of Christ, having accomplished salvation for those for whom he died. The absolute substitute that upon completion of his death there remained no sin. Christ put it away, and therefore there only remained righteousness for God the Father to impute to the account of those for whom Christ died. And therefore it could be said that when he finished the work, there was a new creation. Old things were passed away. The word creation, or here in the King James Version, it says he is a new creature. It is the word founded or founding, something new that was instituted. And this verse begins with the word therefore. And so the preceding verses are with reference to what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross by his death, that absolute redemption, that absolute justifying, declaring righteous of his people, and sanctifying, the setting apart of his people unto God upon completion of Christ's death. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to establish righteousness. He earned it, and God the Father imputed it because Christ fulfilled every aspect of God's law and justice and satisfied a holy God upon completion of his death. There was that laying of the foundation, which is what the word creature means. The foundation was laid in Christ. You see, the wages of sin is death. But by Christ's death, the curse of the law the curse of sin and the accusations of Satan himself were done away forever on behalf of those for whom Christ shed his blood when he finished the work. So in that sense, concretely, objectively, legally, justly, it can be said that the old things of the law are passed away. The old things of sin and condemnation in Adam are passed away. They are no more. That's why Paul wrote there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 those very precious words to any that are the Lord's. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, who are those who are in Christ Jesus? Well, they're described as those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They don't walk after the works of the flesh or works of the law, but after the Spirit guiding them into all truth, the Spirit directing their hearts and minds unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit giving them the eye of faith to look to Christ alone and rest in His finished work alone for salvation. They are they for whom there is now no condemnation. That little word "now" is not just added for punctuation, but it has to do with time. It's a time word. There is therefore now. You say, what was previous? Well, until Christ died and paid the debt, there was the curse of the law. There was a curse of sin. There was Satan, the accuser, who could justly accuse sinners before a holy God in some way thinking that God was just overlooking their sin. And yet Satan, as he accused Job before God, he didn't have foreknowledge. He didn't see how it was that God would be just to justify one even like Job and in time put away his sin. Job knew. He said in Job 19, I know that my Redeemer liveth. So he was given eyes to see. Abraham knew. Christ said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. David knew. He was given eyes to look unto Christ. Moses knew. He told the Israelites that the day would come when God would raise up another prophet like unto him. And he said, hear him. So these were given eyes of faith to look to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Satan himself did not know. He continued to accuse these before God, but God owes Satan no answer, and his justice will not be demeaned or diminished in any way. It was fully satisfied when he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to lay down his life. And therefore it can be said, based upon Christ having finished the work, this concrete answer to that question, how can God be just to justify? How can it be said that old things are passed away? Well, legally, judicially, and satisfactionally, it was done in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death. But a second approach to this verse is spiritually. In other words, those taught of the Spirit of Christ, in Christ, and by Christ, now have a new view, not only of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, the Redeemer, the Substitute, and the Justifier, but they have a new view of themselves as the Spirit of God opens a sinner's eyes to behold the Lord Jesus Christ and draws that one to Him. That one is done with any carnal views of Christ or of themselves. As new creatures, done are the old sinful notions of God, thinking somehow God was like unto us, as many believe, passive, waiting for the sinner to do something in order for him to respond in kind. False notions of Christ, the idea that somehow he came to this earth to attempt to save sinners, but alas, they won't let him. Such a false, blasphemous view of Christ, of salvation, thinking that somehow it's a cooperation between God and man and not seeing it as it is in truth, all of God. The false, sinful notion of so-called free will, for any to think that somehow their will is free. It's true we have a will, but it is bound by what we are in our nature, sinful, and therefore left to itself can only sin. Or self-righteousness, the false notion that somehow there's some good in man that recommends them to God by what they do, say, or think. Or the false notion of salvation by works, as if man could somehow offer something to God to satisfy his just and holy character. Or justification, being justified either in whole or in part by anything other than the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21 that if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If righteousness come by any sinner himself fulfilling the law, then Christ is dead in vain. It would not have been necessary for Christ to come. And so, when it says here in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That old manner of viewing ourselves, that manner of viewing God or Christ or salvation, anything pertaining to salvation, being anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ alone, is done away. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, the Apostle Paul wrote, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. The Spirit's work is ever to reveal Christ. It's not to glorify himself or glorify and exalt man. There's some today who give testimony and profess to be filled with the Spirit, but they're doing nothing but glorifying themselves before God. Christ in John 16 and verse 13 told his disciples, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And that's really coming back to my text here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in these verses that I've read for you from verse 14 down to verse 21, is what the Apostle Paul is describing as what the Spirit has taken and revealed unto his children, those things that they have received of Christ. And it can all be summed up in that word reconciliation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, because by the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. Are we sinners yet? Yes. But if Christ paid the debt, then that new standing with God the Father is one of holiness, of perfection, not in us, but in Christ. And we see the tenses of the verbs here in verses 18, 19, and 21 that leave no doubt that there has been a legal reconciliation of God's elect by the death of Christ when he accomplished for them their salvation in his death. This is not something that is ongoing or requires the sinner to add to it, but it has been accomplished already. In verse 18, Paul wrote, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself. Notice, by Jesus Christ. In verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world. It doesn't say is. In other words, those that he has reconciled to himself, he did it in that one-time death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know Paul writes there in verse 20, "We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." But that's a matter of being reconciled to God in one's heart, in these things pertaining to Christ. And spiritually, when the Spirit of God reveals Christ in the heart, all of that goes away. All of that rebellion. There's a laying down of one's arms in rebellion against God and surrendering, a bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ, and an acknowledging that if He paid the debt, then I have salvation. But apart from His death, there is no salvation. So this means that reconciliation has been accomplished. In verse 21 that I read for you describes, again, how it is that old things are passed away. Verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5 says, "Him who knew no sin, He made to be sin for us, that we might become or be made the righteousness of God in Him." Now, the meaning is not that Christ became sinful or was Himself changed into a sinner, no more than when the Word is said to be made flesh, that somehow the divine nature was converted into flesh. That could not be. The divine nature assumed or took on flesh, and even so, Christ took on Himself the sin of His people by imputation. Imputation means to charge to one's account. So Christ was made sin vicariously. In other words, as the substitute. He bore the guilt that was due those that the Father had given Him. And He took it upon Himself by imputation. It was charged by God the Father to His account. Now, the judicial aspect of this reconciliation is evidenced in verse 19, "not reckoning to them their trespasses." There was a charging of guilt to Christ rather than to the elect, and there was the simultaneous attributing to their account of the righteous obedience of Christ, thereby making them all at one time just before God. So it is this message of the accomplished work of reconciliation, and through the death of Christ, those old things, the old charges, the old curse of the law and sin being put away, that is committed to the true preachers of the gospel today, those sent of God. Just to call men to repentance and make them believe that somehow their repentance is what gets it done is not the gospel. Rather, the command to repent or be reconciled to God is in response to the gospel. As the Spirit reveals Christ in the heart, there is a drawing to and a bowing to what Christ has already accomplished for His people. And any change in mind and heart is because of that reconciliation that already was accomplished at the cross. So, dear friend, can you say old things are passed away? It can only be said in, by, and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that He accomplished there at Calvary.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast brought to you by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. We meet at 2970 Baird Road and invite you to join us each Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org or call 318-687-4943. Please plan to join us again next week.